So who wants to go first?
Actius, you're in charge of the podcast. You go.
Yeah.
I kind of just joined.
Hi, I'm Actius. I am a member of Fridays for Future. In the dollar chapter, at least. I go to Sussex. Should I share that? I don't know. Anywho. I go to Sussex Tech High School. I've not been in Fridays for Future very long, but I have done a little bit with rallies and things of that nature. So yeah.
All right, Ethan Newton.
Hey y'all, my name is Nathan Cho, and I'm currently a junior at Conrad in Wilmington. I'm a relatively new member of FF Delaware. And I'm really looking forward to discussing and getting into all these topics.
Yeah. All right. I am Gianna Voges. I am a senior in high school at Delaware. I go to Sussex Academy. I will be attending Temple University this fall in their honors program. I just joined Fridays for Future back in January, but I'm the head of public relations. I'm part of the legislative branch. I've met with our president, Jack Thomas, and some of our local legislators about passing some bills about carbon tax. I spoke at a rally we recently had in March. And that's a little bit about me. All right, Actius.
All right. It's probably going to say this in the title of this podcast, but today we're going to be talking about Roe v. Wade and how it is going to affect climate change and how affect the fight against climate change in the U.S. and different effects that Roe v. Wade might have in that type of sense. Yeah, I'm so right now.
Hopefully this will come out in like a timely manner, but I'm sure you guys all know what's happening with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Right, opinion recently got leaked about the Supreme Court wanting to overturn Roe v. Wade, which would put this power to the states on whether they want to keep abortion, legalize it, things in that to that nature, which is awful because there's so many states that are going to criminalize abortion and make it so much harder for women to have just free will over their bodies. And with that, it also sets Roe v. Wade set the legal precedent for so many important Supreme Court decisions, like things about same-sex marriage, just other basic things about women's bodies and their right to choose. So it's appalling in itself that it's even being considered that it's being overturned. But it does affect climate change to an extent, and just it's so important any facet of the manner. I don't want to talk the whole time. Nathan.
Yeah, like Gianna touched upon, the impact of Roe v. Wade and the impact of the opinion calling for its overturning is not one that is isolated to abortion. It creates a precedent that basically calls into question one of the foundations of many civil rights cases, that being the constitutional right to privacy. And this has effect in almost all facets of society, from interracial marriage to the ability to have private possession of pornography in your home. And to say that, or at least to think that the effects of Roe v. Wade are ones that don't have echoes in the environment is an unnuanced one. And I hope that through this, that we can show the many facets that it can have, the many effects that this can have on our environment and the continuing fight against climate change.
Honestly, that is very well said. Also, I would like to bring up that with, say, a lot of different effects of climate change affect, say, minority communities the most, different forms of pollution and different types of factories are usually more populated in poorer areas because sometimes the land's cheaper, they can get away with a lot more. So usually impoverished communities are more impacted. And these climate issues also affect different statistics when it comes to birth, including stillbirths. And things of that nature and the types of birth defects that can come from it. So it kind of goes hand in hand in that type of sense, because if you're forced to give birth to a baby where you know you have had health defects from certain environmental issues, and including maybe contaminated water sources, which is pretty popular in Delaware because of the chicken plants and things of that nature, it can really negatively affect you in that type of sense. And then say there are birth defects with the child because of, or if there are birth defects because of different environmental issues that you're faced with, it kind of gives you more difficulty with aborting the child, and you might not be able to, even though you know it wouldn't be safe, maybe for you, maybe for the child, anything of that nature.
And yeah, I think a lot of people who are listening to this are kind of just like, why is an environmentalist group talking about Roe v. Wade, these stupid liberals and their little agenda? But like, you know, like just exactly like Actia said, I couldn't have said it better. And like with Roe v. Wade, if Roe v. Wade is noted term, those who are going to be most impacted are women and trans men who are people of color and low income, who are If Roe v. Wade's overturned, the most impacted will be low-income women and people of color and trans men and people of color, which are the same communities that are already most impacted by climate change. And if we're a group about fighting for climate justice and fighting for change, so if we're truly about that, we need to focus on all aspects of it and not just save the trees, also what's actually affecting it. And that made no sense. Yeah.
Honestly, that kind of made a lot of sense, and it really summed up how they both correlate to each other. Also, it kind of, in that type of sense, people talk a lot about how if because of impoverished communities, a lot of people do get abortions because they aren't able to financially support the child, and people say that, hey, it's not fair to only allow or to almost like push abortion onto people who can't financially support the child, because it pushes them more onto impoverished communities. But at the same time, you have to look at the factors of, hey, it's not just that they can't financially support the child. If you're really that worried about it, then maybe try pushing for better social security, healthcare, well, not really social security, more of the healthcare, things of that nature that can help the family support the child and things of that nature, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that made so much sense. Nathan, do you have anything to, sorry, I feel like I'm talking a lot.
Honestly, you're the most informed about this topic because you were the one who was most prepared. So it'd probably be best if you talk most, because
I was just reading a tweet, babe. So I don't know, like, I think like it's so important to like, especially as a, with being like a civil rights group that we are, in like a social change group, it's so important that we're not just focusing on one issue to make change. We need unity over so many issues. And I don't know, yeah, we can't solve every single issue, but there's so many layers to different issues. Like Roe v. Wade, it's an issue of also climate justice because it affects people who are already in areas with high rates of climate change. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's appalling and ridiculous and disgusting, and women should have the right to choose.
Honestly, I couldn't agree more for so many different reasons. I'm not going to go into all of those reasons because everybody here has access to Google and can look up their own reasons, and I'm not going to try to sit here and do that. But I feel like it's important to acknowledge that Roe v. Wade is not just about abortion. It is about so many other things, including privacy rights of different, I don't know how to phrase this, anyhow. But there are so many different things of that nature, and it's not just going to make abortions harder to get. It's going to be harder to have privacy about a lot of things. And I'm pretty sure Nathan touched on this a bit, but it's kind of scary to look at how a lot of people are like, oh, we need to protect privacy, freedom of speech, things of that nature, and yet they wish to overturn Roe v. Wade. And it's not just And I know there are a lot of people, they're not looking for Roe v. Wade just to be, or to be totally overturned, just almost tweaked in a way. But if it does allow a lot more loopholes legally, if this does get decided on, and especially because there are a lot of senators out there who would try to jump on this and use it to the best of their ability and stretch it to the far limits, which is extremely scary, especially because of how some really want the, as this has been coming up, there have been talks about people and senators creating different types of bills that include not allowing, say, birth control unless you're married, or different things about regulating condoms and things like that. And it's not just going to stop, or a lot of this, it's not going to stop abortions. It's not going to stop sex and a lot of that stuff. And I know it's just talk, and it's probably not going to happen, but it's also going to push a lot of unsafe sex, and STD rates are going to rise. And we've seen this before. A lot of these same trends, I mean, I feel like they're going to come up again, just like they have in history and in the past. And that, I think people are kind of turning a blind eye to that and thinking that it's going to be different somehow, when if you look at it, it's really not, if this does get pushed forward. And I mean, I think it's important to also know that it's not going to stop abortions, because excuse the way that I'm going to say this, and it might be triggering for some, but everybody has access to coat hangers, so it's not going to stop abortions. I'm sorry, I don't know how to word that any better than that. But yeah,
it's kind of hypocritical, because I feel like when back in like 2018, I want to say, when the Parkland shooting had just happened, so many conservatives were like, if we ban all guns, criminals are still going to have access to guns, that's why they're criminals. Yeah, use that same logic for abortions then. People are still going to have abortions, and they're not going to be safe if this gets overturned, because sometimes women just don't have any other choice besides to terminate their pregnancy. It's not something that they want to do, it's something that they have to do. And sorry, kind of off topic, but kind of going back to their climate change talk with relating to abortion, an article was actually recently posted today by the media site Grist that explained how kind of climate change will affect abortions, how those kind of go hand in hand. In Texas, which would be one of the turns that, which would be one of the states that would criminalize abortion if Roe v. Wade gets overturned, there's a town called Baytown, which is known as a hotspot for pollution due to their proximity to the ExxonMobil refinery, and there was a Superfund site that was notoriously leaky, as quoted. There's so many levels of pollution that negatively affect pregnant women, causing significant health problems. I'm trying to find the 2018 study by researchers at University of Texas in Austin found that on average maternal morbidity rates in Texas in 2016 were 17 per 1,000 deliveries, but in Baytown that rate was 31 cases per 1,000 deliveries, and these outcomes were more severe for people of color, and they were 2.1 times higher for African-American women. So with it just makes women should not be expected to go through a pregnancy if they feel like they're going to die. I feel like that whole complex of, oh, like have births is like save your child or whatever, but then that child has to be raised without a mother and just with a single parent, or maybe no parent at all. And it's just like, I don't think a woman should have to sacrifice herself, because she's still a living, breathing person for a child.
Yeah. Also, with what you were saying, with all of that and how, not wanting children to grow up without a mother. A lot of, say, if they want to give birth to the child and they're pushing, say, putting it up for adoption and stuff like that, I think it's important to acknowledge how the rates of abuse in foster homes, in different orphanages and things like that nature are so high, and it's hard to regulate it because they have so it's such an overcrowded and overpopulated system that it's very, very hard to deal with. And not only that, but a lot of these a lot, if you're giving birth to a child and you're in an impoverished community, chances are is that child's just going to go into another foster care home, another house in that same community, and is going to be affected by, or maybe they go to I don't know how to word this. I apologize. I'm having trouble collecting my thoughts right now, but it's, they're going to stay in that same environment, maybe get moved to a worse environment where, say, land is cheaper, where they can get different forms of government support and government subsidized housing. Although I know a child isn't going to go and subsidize, well, yeah. But they're going to be in areas like that, which are most impacted by pollution and things of that nature. So in a sense, it's almost, they're going to most likely be forced into a more dangerous environment for their health and more dangerous environment in general. And so honestly, it's not really kind of fair in a way to do that, if that makes sense. I did not word that correctly at all, but...
In talking about the, I guess, more implicit connection between the environment and the implications of overturning Roe v. Wade, I think it's very important to look at the foundational pieces of what affects the environment that someone lives in and what affects our fight in climate change. One of the biggest barriers when it comes to solving climate change on an individual level, that no matter how small that, you know, step maybe, is the idea of poverty. Climate change and environmentalism in general has become an increasingly high class commodity in that it's very only accessible to those with high income, to those who have the ability, the accessibility, the finances to afford the environmentally sustainable options. And what overturning Roe v. Wade does is it essentially supports, uplifts, and perpetuates a cycle of continuing poverty. Mm-hmm. One doesn't have to look far to see the importance of choice when it comes to the elimination of poverty. When birth control was invented by Margaret Sanger in the mid to late 1900s, we saw many girls finally be able to make it to school, girls who were able to socially mobilize, girls who weren't chained down financially, emotionally, physically by a child. Mm-hmm. And we saw this amazing increase, this is not even increase, this amazing boom in women's education, in women going to college, in women going to secondary school, in women making money, in women going into the job force. And this was even before abortion was decriminalized under Roe v. Wade. And it really shows the importance of choice when it comes to breaking poverty. And as we know, poverty standing as one of the biggest obstacles to climate change. If we protect this currently very free option of choice for women when it comes to their bodies, when it comes to the mentally and physically and financially taxing a labor that is birth and raising a child, then we can ensure that these people have all the options available to them and all the resources available to them to make environmentally sustainable options available for themselves when they didn't even want a child in the first place.
No, Nathan, I couldn't have said that better myself. And I feel like there's so many more and better and safer ways to lower the rates of abortion than just overturning abortion. Like, you could make birth control more accessible. You can make help shrink the wage gap between the wealthy and the impoverished. There's so many other options you can do, and one of that is helping and fixing pollution and climate change, because so much the rise of article by the Frontline was posted about how a growing body of research is linking climate change and pollution to increased risk of stillbirth, low birth weight, and preterm birth, underscoring how climate change and the erosion of reproductive autonomy are creating a dual crisis for pregnant people across America. And I don't know. I feel like it's really the opinion leaked about overturning Roe v. Wade isn't about saving the fetus's life or whatever. It's about controlling women's bodies it's not going to make any step in the right direction whatsoever.
Also, I kind of want to bring up the fact that Roe v. Wade talks a lot about how the courts acknowledged the woman's right to make decisions about her pregnancy. And based on that knowledge, since if that gets overturned and they're like, oh, I feel like some people are going to take that and interpret it as, okay, now women don't have the right to make decisions about their pregnancy, and then they can't make, say, decisions about, say, how they want to get birth, or how they want to give birth, how they want to do this, how they want to do that. That's going to take a lot of options away from them. And I don't think, I mean, I feel like there are going to be things to stop this, but it does open a major gateway to that, including, say, if you cannot give birth to a child and you really want to get artificially inseminated and things of that nature, I feel like there would be more stipulations about that, and people might start taking that and trying to create laws against it, maybe because it's like, oh, it's unnatural and it's against my religion, and so they might use that as an excuse to start opening up doors that people should have the decision right to. Because I think it's coming to the point where people have to realize that morality is relevant, and so you have to respect somebody's choice because it is their choice. And just because you hold certain beliefs and you feel certain ways and because of your own personal experiences and things like that, you can't hold someone else accountable for your own beliefs. You have to be able to acknowledge their beliefs and their experiences and things of that nature.
No, yeah, I feel like we're all kind of just like restating the same thing, because this is just ridiculous and there's nothing really else to say, because it's a ridiculous opinion that was posted. And I don't know, I feel like I don't want to get like, that's not like really what I'm saying is aggressive, but I'm trying to like stay factual and like have a debate, like a discussion about this. It's just like, it's, I don't know, it's infuriating. And I feel like we're, I'm not saying we're talking in circles, but I feel like we're saying kind of the same things because there's nothing else to say about this. This piece of opinion, this opinion is ridiculous and it doesn't make any sense. There's so many contradictions to it because it's just, it's limiting a woman's right to choose. And if you want to, again, if you want to limit abortion rates, make it safer to have birth, make it safer for a child to be raised in this world, with which starts with reducing climate change, which starts with helping like the pollution rates in low income and impoverished cities. It just, yeah.
I think it's also important to acknowledge, God, I just had a thought and I totally forgot the thought.
I can go if you want to think about it more. Okay, so thinking about it more technically, because I think we think about it very philosophically, but thinking about it technically, what this signals about the Supreme Court is their willingness to overturn precedent, longstanding precedent, that, might I add, all of the judges that were in support of overturning Roe v. Wade affirmed in their confirmation that they were not going to touch and that they were going to respect Roe v. Wade as Supreme Court precedent. Now, this sets a dangerous example for future cases, such as the current litigating case of West Virginia v. EPA. This is a court case currently on its way to the Supreme Court, awaiting Supreme Court decision about the Environmental Protection Agency's authority to regulate carbon emissions from the power sector. Now, the power sector is the country's second largest source of planet warming pollution. Now, this originally would have contradicted greatly with the previous precedent set by the Supreme Court case in 2007 of EPA versus Massachusetts, which dictated that the federal government's power imbued by the Clean Air Act overrules corporate interests and certain civil court laws or civil court procedures. So in the signaling of the turning of opinion in this court, in the Supreme Court, and the willingness that they show to overturn such longstanding American precedent, it signals a change in which that sets in the danger of the environment for the decision of West Virginia EPA, endangering the precedent set by EPA versus Massachusetts.
Honestly, I think that is a great point to bring up and a very important point to bring up because it's, I find, okay, this is a little bit off topic, but I find it kind of cool how, because of all of these events happening all at once, it's kind of, it's cool and yet scary to see how so many decisions now are going to impact, or how many decisions of, say, our government right now are going to have such long-term impacts because of things like this, because of different types of precedents that are coming forward, because of different, all these different conflicting opinions, and how the government reacts to certain things like this is looked at so heavily that it's, I apologize. I don't know. I forgot what I was saying mid-sentence again.
Anyway. No, you're not ready.
Oh, also, I remembered what I was going to say earlier. sorry. But with, say if a woman has to give birth, it's and she's in an impoverished community, she can go after the father for, say, child support and things like that. But say if they're in an impoverished community, what if the father cannot pay child support? He is not financially able to pay child support. I think that this forces the woman to be in a role that she has to be the caregiver of a child, and the father doesn't have to be in that type of view. And it kind of forces housewife beliefs and values, even though in that type of situation, the mother would probably be a working mother, but not always, but it kind of forces certain types of beliefs and not beliefs, more of values that are extremely outdated, and that the woman has to support the child, the woman has to give birth to the child, the woman does not get a say if she gives birth to the child or not, the father gets the say, and things of that nature. And
in short, the Supreme Court is sexist and doesn't care about actually the well-being. I know the Supreme Court does very good things sometimes. I don't think people who we didn't even vote on should get to have this such a big decision like this. And this isn't, if you really think this is about lowering the rate of abortions and saving a child's life, then you're wrong. It isn't. And there's so, like I said previously, and like everyone has said, there's so many different ways that the abortion rate could be lowered if that is truly the goal of this opinion. And again, if this is just an opinion, hopefully it won't actually go into Supreme Court precedent, but it's disgusting if it is, because there's so many different layers, like the issue of pollution and climate change, that need to be considered when such a big decision like this is made. It's not about saving lives, it's about controlling women and making them domestic housemakers.
I like how you brought up the point about saving lives, because in reality, if women cannot get abortions legally, they're going to go through it illegally, which puts their life in danger as well. And so in reality, they're not just killing, say, a fetus. There's a higher risk of the woman in the situation dying. And so I feel like this is going to, because nowadays it's a, things like sex and things like that are more culturally accepted, and it's not a topic that is almost taboo as much anymore. It's still, kind of frowned upon, especially because we still preach it. We're still talking, at least we're talking about it, and we're talking about safe sex options. But if happens, then maybe it's probably going to start impacting, hey, what can we talk about in school when it comes to safe sex options? What can we talk about this and that? Because it's probably going to stigmatize and things like sex again, and to make it feel like, hey, if you do have sex and you do, if there is any form of mistake whatsoever, then you're going to be penalized for it. And then I feel like it's going to drive up different types of.
Oh, acting is cut out.
Dang.
Okay, but Nathan, if you don't have anything else, do you have anything else to say?
Not really.
Charge.
No.
Okay. No, yeah. I just, again, like, I feel like we're all kind of just saying the same things because there's nothing really to say about this other than that it's ridiculous and nothing is really being taken into account with this opinion because it's not about saving lives or whatever. It's, again, it's about controlling women and it's about putting women in already more awful situations than they already are. Not just women, trans men, and rich people will still have access to abortions, and that's just the fact. It's about, this will extremely affect impoverished poor women and trans men who have already are experiencing detrimental effects of climate change. Yeah.
We slayed it, methinks.
But yeah, thank you guys for listening. For those of you who listened, this was kind of a mess, but I hope you guys enjoyed and dealt with this. And if you guys have any other, I hope you guys like this. Follow our social medias at FFFDE. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Help join us. We're always looking for new people. I feel so bad for Actius. He's in charge of this podcast. Oh no, it's fine. All right. I think Nathan is probably going to get sent to. Yeah. Okay. Goodbye, guys. I think you can stop recording.
I'm the host.